has got so much for us coming up in 96 that he really has a place for each one of us, each and every one of us. And for those of you visitors that are visiting with us today, you can take this back, this word back to you, to your own home fellowship, and just apply it there. The exhortation is really to take our places, and the title actually that I've given my message today is Walking Worthy. And it comes from Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 1. And the way I see this particular word, walking worthy, really is doing just that. It's taking what God's given us to do. Each one of us has something that God's gifted us and enabled us to do. And I believe he wants us to do that. So as 96 approaches, he's got a lot of things in store for us as a body. And we've got to be in our spot. I just see that God's done so much in this body. I've only been a part of this body for maybe about 3 years. But even in that time, there's been so much growth and development and change. In that change, I see that He built on the foundation that's begun. This foundation that I see was really love. Ephesians 4, 14 through 15 speaks about being rooted and grounded in love. And I see that that's what God's been doing. He's been rooting and grounding this fellowship in love. He's been doing that through the word, through the preached word, through the spoken word. He's done that through ministry time, through refreshing, through renewal. And he's done that in outreach to this body as we reach out to others, like the Thanksgiving dinner and the kids' Chino ministry trips that they've gone on. There's been a lot. So God's really been rounding us and rooting us and grounding us in his ways, in his love. So our text this morning is actually Ephesians chapter 4. And I'd like us to turn there if you have your Bible with you. And we'll start off in verse 1. Paul says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. And that's, again, the theme of the message this morning, is walking in a manner worthy of the calling that he's placed on each one of us. From the youngest one here to the oldest one here, you've got a very vital and important and a key place to play in the body of Christ. If you're really young, maybe it's just being a good child, a good daughter, a good son, a good student. Maybe if you're a little bit older, God's giving you some additional responsibilities. Maybe you're helping in nursery or helping teaching some of the Sunday school classes. And then for us older folks in the Lord, there's just myriad ministries out there that need to be fulfilled. And no one part of the body is more important than the other. So 4:1 again encourages us to walk worthy of our calling. The key thing that I saw here, though, was Paul says, he starts off, he says, I therefore. And whenever, as you guys have probably heard, whenever there's a therefore, you got to back up a little bit. And so I backed up a little bit, and I saw what God was speaking in chapter 3 through Paul, starting in about verse 14. And what he did there, what Paul was doing in verse 14 on through the end of chapter 3, was to pray for the body. And we'll see as we go through that he wasn't just speaking to the Ephesians, but he was speaking to everybody, even to today. So let's look at that first. Let's back up. We'll just do it this way. Okay. Let's see. About verse 14. He says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. That includes us, every family on heaven and earth. That he would grant you, and I think this is a good spot to insert your own name, that you can. He would grant me, Mike, or just put your own name in there, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, there's that verse again, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, To him be the glory in the church, in Christ Jesus, to all generations. There he is underscoring that. It's for us. To all generations forever and ever. So that's a powerful prayer that Paul has prayed for us. He's prayed basically seven key, I think, points that I want to touch on real quick. Verse 16, he's praying for spiritual strength. And, I mean, how many of us need that, you know, when we're going through those trials? Amen. And 1996, I believe, is going to be a powerful and a mighty year for us as a fellowship. But that's not to say there isn't going to be bumps in the road. And we need that spiritual strength to endure and to overcome. Verse 17 speaks of the indwelling Christ rooting and grounding us in love. We need to have Jesus as the master of our hearts, as the key of all that we do and all that we seek to do. And that love that he brings us is really an important factor. Verse 18, he's praying for comprehension of the deep things of God. As we grow and mature in Christ, that there's going to be some greater things, some deeper things that he's going to be calling us into. He's going to be requiring more of us. And again, this is an exhortation, so I don't want anybody to take anything negative or down from this, but and I have to put myself in the same category, having walked with the Lord for maybe, I don't know, close to 20 years now. You know, I don't think I've been cutting it as far as he's concerned. I don't think I've been fulfilling the things that he's called me to do. I think I'm just now starting to appreciate that fact and starting to do a little bit of work on it. And the encouragement here is to all of, particularly the more mature, the older ones in the Lord, maybe you've been doing the stuff for so long and so hard that you're getting a little tired, a little burnt out. You know, there's a place in the Lord and in the body for taking a rest. I went to a meeting in Atascadero last year where the speaker was emphasizing basically three main places in the body of Christ that we can be in. One was in, you know, active ministry or battle. Being on the battlefield is the way, the analogy he was giving us in that one. And then one of the problems with being in the battle is sometimes you can get wounded or you can get tired. You can need some R&R. So we can be in that spot for a short time, I think, to get refreshed and get renewed and get built back up. And then there's another place in the body, a third area that we can be in, and that's an area of just being instructed, of being ministered to through the Word, through teaching, and so forth. And that doesn't mean we operate in one of those spheres individually. We can operate even in all three of them sometimes at the same time, being out in the battlefield while we're still receiving spiritual medicine. But anyway, I believe that's one of the things he's speaking of in verse 18, is just that the deep things of God. I think those things involve moving on, pressing on, pressing forward, even in the heat of the battle. Verse 19 speaks of the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. We can operate up here, which is probably one of the things that has slowed me down more in my spiritual walk over the time I've known the Lord, is that I've walked up here. I've tried to absorb the Word through my mind and observe the things that have been happening in my life through the interpretation of my mind. And we need a spiritual mind to discern what God's doing. And the only way to get the spiritual mind is to invite the Spirit to take over and to have control of our mind. So there's that love of Christ that surpasses that knowledge, that head knowledge that we can walk in. Verse 19 speaks of Paul praying for a filling up of all the fullness of God. And isn't that what we've been really experiencing in great measure the last couple of years in the renewal ministry that's been happening? And it's just been a time to soak up and to be full, to receive what God's been doing. And there's a purpose for all that, which we're going to talk about in a minute. But the bottom line is Paul was praying here that the saints would be filled up. And then verses 20 and 21 is just basically an affirmation of God, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask. So what little we have faith enough to ask for, God is more than able to do more and beyond what we are able to ask, what our mind can conceive of asking. God is able to go way past that. And again, in verse 21, it speaks of us, to all generations forever, is the blessing that God's been giving. Okay, so with all that was the introduction. Now, the text in verses chapter 4, verses 1, verse 1 through about 16 even. Let's look at the first few verses. Paul says, "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So I just believe that God is speaking in this section of that diligence. We've attained a lot. We've made a lot of progress in the Spirit and in the kingdom, and particularly in Cambria. I think that what God has done here is really making a dent in the kingdom of the enemy, and that we have a spot, we have a part to play in seeing that come to fruition, to see the building being built on top of the foundation of love. So, you know, as we see this building project come into being and we see the material building going up, we have to remember that we all have a part to play. We're part of those living stones that it speaks of in 1 Peter chapter 2, is where we're called living stones, and you can't build the church of the Lord without those living stones. We can throw up a building, but that isn't building a church. And so we have to build up that church by what God has called us to do. So again, in that diligence, the diligence requires some effort. We're going to have to do something, actually. We can pray, that's part of the effort, but also there's a manual part of the labor that's going to go into it. It's going to require each of us to really do some soul searching and check our hearts out and ask ourselves, have we been doing all that God has called us to do? Have we filled that spot that He's created for us? Each one of us is so dependent on one another that the ministry that God's called us to can't be accomplished without each one of us doing what we've been called to do. Verses 7 down through about 14, it speaks about these gifts and things that God's given us. Verse 7 says, "But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men." Now the expression, "he ascended," what does it mean except that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Those all things include us. He did that. He came, he died, he led captivity captive, and the whole purpose was to equip us to do the work of this generation, the generation that we live in. He gave some apostles, he gave some prophets and some evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. So that's the key of the passages here in verse 12. The purpose for the gifts is the building up, the edifying. We see the word edifying a lot. Edifying just simply means to build up. We are edifying one another by building one another up, by supporting each other in the things that God's called us to do. It's sort of like a toolbox. If you've ever seen, some of you mechanics out there probably have those big chests of tools. And each tool has a specific purpose. And if somebody maybe borrows one of those tools and it's not there when you need it, how frustrating that can be. You can't get the job done without each tool. I mean, it may seem like all these tools are too much. I mean, I've seen some guys who have, they must have spent tens of thousands or more just on filling that tool chest. And I see that God's got a tool chest here, and each one of us is included in that collection. It's kind of like, I have an interesting little illustration. My daughter, Katie Ann, had her birthday in September, and she got a bike, a nice bike, and she was riding it around. She'd had it for maybe about a week or two, and the chain came off. And I went out, well, that's easy enough. I went out to put the chain back on. But when I went to put the chain back on, I saw the reason why the chain came off, and it's because there was a little retainer ring that holds the rear sprocket onto the wheel. And so I said, no problem. I took the wheel off and went to tighten up that little retainer ring, and I saw that it took a special tool to do the job. I didn't have that tool, so I thought, well, being a resourceful person, I can Mickey Mouse it. I'll figure some way to do it. So I took things. I took a couple of center punches and tried to push down and twist that ring into place. I tried for over an hour different things. Nails. I had to stick a couple nails in there. There was no way I was going to get that little retaining ring back in. So I finally gave up. I got frustrated and tired, and I gave up. The next day, being stubborn, I thought, I'm going to do this thing. I can do this. This is easy. It's one little ring on one stupid wheel. How hard can it be? Well, I spent probably another 45 minutes to an hour again. No success. I finally wound up giving up again. And I decided, well, I guess I need to go to a bike shop and talk to him, find out what it is you got to do. So I start talking to the guy at the bike shop, and he listens to me for about 20 seconds, walks up to the shelf, and he actually he handed me this. I don't know if you guys can see it. It's just a little, it's a special tool created for a specific purpose, and this is the tool that you use to tighten up that little retainer ring to make the to put the hub back together on the back of the bike. So I did that. I bought the tool. Took me all of about 20 seconds with the right tool, and we were sailing again on the bike. So I guess the analogy there is pretty obvious that, you know, without that tool, the job was impossible. And each one of us is just like that tool. We've got a very specific place. God cannot accomplish what he desires to accomplish without you and without me. And moreover, our pastor can't do what he's been called to do without you and without me. Each one of us has to support him and give him all that God's given us. We need to give back. And I think that it's really an appropriate message. Again, this is an exhortation, I hope, and not a condemnation, that we would all find that thing that we're supposed to do. Find that thing that God's given us and do it. Okay, so let's see. We're doing time. We've got a few more minutes. I won't hopefully not bore you guys. Okay, let's go to verse 13. Okay. So in verse 12 again, we talked about the equipping of the saints for the work of service, the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causing the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So a few more key points, I think, to see here. In verse 13, the gifts are to operate in the body, bringing the church into fullness, into maturity. You know, it's a mature body is going to be a lot less subject to some of the things that are talked about here. It says no longer being children. That's, you know, balanced, of course, with the fact that Christ has called us to be childlike. But this child, no longer being children, I think speaks of being immature. He's saying, don't be immature. He's saying, grow up. You know, take that thing that you've been taught, you've been having the word poured into you all these years, do something with it. Take that milk and let it grow strong bones and big muscles. Alrighty. So we're no longer to be immature, in other words, not to be children, tossed around by waves. I think as we grow in the Lord and as we've seen things, we've come through a lot. I think of all the things that the Lord's shown me in the last, you know, 15 years or so. It makes me a lot more solid. It makes me a lot more, a lot less susceptible to being carried about by doctrines that are not right, you know, and that's the function of the mature believer in the body of Christ, is to provide stability to the body. You know, in youthful exuberance, sometimes we can get carried away, maybe run off with a tangent here or there, but the maturity of the mature believer brings us back into balance. So I think that's a real important thing that God wants us to get today. So let's see, verse 15 speaks of speaking the truth and growing up. They're linked together. There's a balance that happens in the body too. As you become more mature, you're less worried, I think, about what people would care to say. So if you feel like God's giving you a word to speak to somebody, to speak into their life, I think you feel more able to do it and more empowered to do it and less afraid of the consequences. I think that's important too. A lot of times, how many times have we thought, oh, you know, I just feel like I'm supposed to go say something to this brother or sister, and we think, nah, you know, that's just, I don't know, it's just an emotion or something. And we let it go, and we miss an opportunity to bless somebody. So I think that comes as we grow and mature and become grounded in love. I think that's what happens. We become more honest and less afraid, again, of the consequences of our honesty. So verse 16 kind of ties it all together. Under Christ the head, we are the body, he's the head, and each part of the body is a vital part. And as it says in verse 16, I'm just going to go ahead and read it again, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part. I'm not going to get into it now, but there's many little jokes I've heard over the years that talk about the importance of each of the individual body parts and how, you know, each body part would maybe war against the other body parts for prominence and what happens if that would happen. And there's a funny joke, which I don't want to tell, but I'll cut it down to sort of the punchline, was the nose. The nose decided it was the most important body part, and the rest of the body wasn't giving it any, paying much attention. Now, the brain, of course, figured it was the most important body part, and the heart, of course, thought it was the most important part, but the nose was just there and really in a huff because everybody was ignoring it. And what happened was the nose decided not to do its job. Not only did it stuff up, but it wouldn't hold up the glasses anymore. So the glasses fell off, the nose got stuffed up, the head got fuzzy, the eyes couldn't see, and the body tried to go for a walk, stumbled, and fell, and it bruised that nose. But anyway, that's a long joke cut into a little capsule. But anyway, you get the point. You know, each part of the body has a very important part to play. And if we're not there to do our part, somebody's going to suffer, and probably the whole body will suffer. Amen. That's basically it, I think, for today. I just would like to pray for us. What I've got is basically that same prayer that Paul prayed, but it's in a different version. It's in the contemporary English version, which is a new Bible that came out this year. So I'd like us to do right now is just bow our heads. I'd like to pray a blessing over us using Paul's words. Lord, we just thank you for ministering to us today through worship, through prayer ministry, Lord, and through just the very presence of your Spirit, Lord. I kneel in prayer to the Father. All things, all beings in heaven and on earth receive their life from him. God is wonderful and glorious. I pray that his Spirit will make you become strong followers and that Christ will live in your hearts because of your faith. Stand firm and be deeply rooted in his love. I pray that you and all God's people will understand what is called wide or long or high or deep. I want you to know all about Christ's love, although it's too wonderful to be measured. Then your lives will be filled with all that God is. I pray that Christ Jesus and all the church will forever bring praise to God. His power at work in us can do far more that we can dare ask or imagine. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. Happy New Year. I just pray that you will do just as I suggested, I guess, just find your spot, whatever it is, and do it. There's nothing too great or too small. Amen? Amen. Happy New Year.
Send holy place. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, clean hands and a pure heart. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, clean hands and a pure heart. Lord, I want clean hands and a pure heart, clean hands and a pure heart. We need to
I think we are hearing out there, aren't we? Oh, that's nice. This is nice.
Boom, 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 boom.
Are you gonna play?
Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit, breathe on me.
Okay, perfect.
They are. I go too fast in this curve.
Yeah.
Oh Lord, take my heart. to yours, O Lord. To yours, O Lord. Holiness, holiness, what I long for. Holiness, what I need. Holiness, holiness, what you want from me.
Did the monitors get turned down? Here, John? Did the monitors get turned down?
I'm here.
No, did they? Because I cannot hear anymore. What? Something happened. Yeah. And it just happened a while ago. Hello? Hello, hello. That might be a little bit better. Okay, test your
studio. Holiness.
Yeah.
I could.
Holiness, holiness, what you want from me. Righteousness, righteousness, what I long for. Righteousness, what I need. Oh, righteousness, righteousness, what you want from me. Take my heart and form it. Take my mind.
First verse at the very end, we'll go through it all, and then we'll end on the first verse.